Well, we're trending the right way. You know, we know it's just a matter of time before we get, you know, all our injured guys back on the field, and they've all been working very hard to get back there. So, you know, we did get LeShore back, and that always gives us a boost. He's fresh. We liked him an awful lot when we drafted him. We moved back up to get him. You know, we've been waiting to get him on the field for a long time. He's a multidimensional back. He's not just a power runner inside, which he can do. He can make guys miss. He's good in the pass game. He's a smart guy. You know, we say all the time in the draft, it's about finding a good match for what role we're asking. It's also about, you know, acquiring talent. And Mikel fits what we want. He also is a talented player. So, you know, we'll you know, sort of reserve judgment, wait to see what his contribution will be. But it's good to get him back on the practice field. I mean, I think the world of Mike Munchak. You know, there's not many people that had the career that he had, you know, Hall of Fame career. You know, he's got one of those Hall of Fame jackets. And number one, wanted to coach. Number two, was willing to start off as a quality control coach. And, you know, we all know, I mean, I started out the same way. We know about those hours, and you know, it's a thankless job. And there's a guy that's, you know, going to Canton, and he's grinding until midnight. And I had a lot of respect for Mike because our cars parked next to each other down in the parking lot down there. And we were always the last two guys. And, you know, it was, you know, if you left and his car was still there, you felt like you were cheating the clock a little bit, you know. There sometimes, you know, both of us would sleep in the office or one of us sleep in the office, you know, you'd always see his car and stuff like that. What I'm trying to say is there's, I got a lot of respect for, number one, his playing career. Number two, the fact that he earned his way up from the bottom in coaching. He didn't get a coaching job because he was a great player and he's in the Hall of Fame. He got a coaching job because he knew what he was talking about, and he worked very, very hard at it. And he was willing to grind out a thankless job. And, you know, he didn't need the money. It says a lot about him, his character, and the way he wants to run that team and the way he's going to build that team. I mean, I lived there for 10 years. You know, I'm not the most friendly guy in the world, but my wife has a lot of friends. my kids were born there. They went to school there. They got some friends. You know, I don't know how many ticket requests I'll get, but they'll have a lot. You know, it's a place that you know, that we had an awful lot of experiences as coaches, as families. You know, we saw Super Bowls, saw best records in the NFL and playoffs, and also saw, you know, salary cap overall and poor seasons and everything else. And you know, it was a great learning experience. It was a great experience in our lives to be there. But Detroit is home now, and it's just a road game, to tell you the truth. I mean, it's been so long since I've been there. I couldn't find my way back from the airport. No, I mean, I think you never take the approach of coaching penalties or coaching anything other than the rules of the game. We play, let the officials officiate, and the last thing we'd want is to try to prejudge whether they're going to call something or whether they're not going to call something, and it ends up costing you a game. We've made a big point this year to try to minimize penalties. We've been spotty with our success so far. You know, I thought we did a good job against St. Louis, not so good against San Fran. Our objective is to play a smart, clean game and not get penalized. There's a lot of good players. I think that the trend of the league, I mean, there's a big push for player safety. It protects defenseless receivers. Now, we have also made a push to protect defenseless defensive players, you know, with some of the crackback block rules and some of those other things. But, you know, the illegal contact and stuff like that, I mean, it's opened up the passing game a little bit more. It's very rare. It's not unusual to see offenses with multiple playmakers at wide receivers, and quarterback play is getting better and better and better. There's very, very good quarterback play in the NFL. And when you have all those things, you're going to score points. I mean, I've said this a long time. You can't judge one year on the next. You can't judge one week on the next. You got to go out and grind. I mean, you've seen a Hall of Fame player like Peyton Manning throw three interceptions in a quarter. I don't think there was any doubt if they had gotten that ball back at the end that he would have found a way to get him in the end zone. And good quarterbacks can do that. There's a lot of things that go on in 60 minutes of a game. There's a lot of things that go on in 16 weeks of a season. And you need to persevere through all of them. That's part of the makeup of a quarterback. You need to be mentally tough. And, you know, I think Matt is. You know, I think that whatever is in front, he'll figure out a way to get it done.
A couple of years ago.
There's no question. You know, I was there for his rookie year and saw how explosive he can be. You know, it's very rare that there's a team that has averaging 29 yards a game rushing that you sit there and say, hey, we got to stop the run. But guess what? We got to stop the run. And that starts because there's Chris Johnson back there. You know, and he can have 8 carries for 8 yards and then go 80 yards on the ninth. He's an explosive player. And we have a lot of respect for what he can do, and we're going to have to play our best in run defense. And, again, a little bit like penalties, we've been a little spotty on that within our first 2 games. Played well in the first week on his run defense. Not so well last week. We need to get back to playing well, or we're going to have a difficult time. Oh, yeah, there's definitely a lot of talent there. I mean, they got Britt back last week. I think only played about 8 or 9 snaps. But Nate Washington, you know, is an explosive player for him. They go deep at wide receiver, pass receiving tight end, and Jared Cook, who's a good player. You know, there's definitely a lot of weapons. And like I said, there's Chris Johnson is definitely a guy we have to stop. But if we think he's the only one, we're mistaken. I think every week we try to do that with quarterbacks, whether it's a young guy or not. You know, he is in his first year as a starter, but, you know, he's been around a year. It's not like he was in college last year. He knows what he's doing. We got rush well. We got to stop the run. You know, he's also a good scrambler. We need to be able to take that away from him, too. But I think we need to also remember who we are and not get too much into a particular opponent. We do some things very well defensively, and we need to accentuate those. And I mean, you always game plan, you always tweak things for an opponent. But we got a good fastball. We need to play our fastball too. Yeah, he had surgery yesterday on a broken forearm, and to tell you how tough he is, it happened in the third quarter, and he played the rest of the game. And I have a lot of respect for that guy. He's played a lot of football in the NFL. Came in here and learned a system very quickly and got thrown into the fire very quickly. I thought acquitted himself very well, and team needed him. I mean, we were so short of corners that he really couldn't come out of the game, and he went and soldiered through it. We didn't know it was broken until afterwards because mainly he just didn't tell anybody. He didn't let anybody really get a feel for it. But he had surgery, and I don't know if that administrative move has been made yet. And when it happens, we'll get it to you. You know, a couple of years ago, he's coming out of South Florida. You know, we liked him then. He was hurt last year. You know, he got drafted in the third round. You know, he got hurt and missed just about all of last year. But he's a very good special teams player. A little bit multidimensional. He can play in the slot, play outside. And we thought he could increase our production. And, you know, I think Martin's always been very strong in saying that, you know, whether it's, you know, he throws the same pitch a lot of times like me. But, you know, the draft is not the finish line. The starting day of training camp is not the finish line. The first day of regular season isn't the finish line. Anytime that an opportunity comes that we think that that we can increase our productivity, we will do it, and we'll get him up to speed quickly. Well, yeah, there is strategy involved but you also have to remember that there's a minimum amount of time that you can be out. So once you get to about halfway through the season, it pretty much becomes irrelevant. You can still carry an injured player. You know, if you have another injury, you just carry him as one of your 53, make him inactive every week. So, you know, this gives us an opportunity, if it comes to it, that you replace the roster. And I think some other people have done that already. But that doesn't close the door on somebody in the future that's hurt that you stick with. I mean, it just becomes a personnel decision at that point as far as what's best for the team as we go forward.
You talked about mental strength.
Look, that's part of this league. You know, if there's a job that everybody thinks they can do, it's quarterback. There's three jobs everybody thinks they can do, and that's quarterback, that's head coach, and it's kicker. Right? You know, why can't the guy make a field goal? You know, everybody kicked a field goal in high school or something like that, and they all know when he did it wrong. Not many people can tell if a guard got beat or a defensive tackle or a linebacker. I mean, Brandy's back there smiling. He thinks he does. I'm sure Kowalski's smiling somewhere, saying, "I knew. I had the game film." But you know, the scrutiny is part of this league, and part of the reason it's so popular is people like to talk about it, and you know, decisions that coaches make or go for it or don't, and you know, throwing interceptions. I mean, everybody can tell when quarterback throws an interception. Not all of them know exactly why, but they all know it wasn't good. And if you're thin-skinned as a kicker, you're not gonna last very long if you listen to too many outside, we get a lot of letters, people telling, you know, some tips for Jason and stuff. We don't pass any of those forward. I'm sure it's the same thing for quarterback, for head coach. I mean, there's part of this game that, you know, you better be confident in your abilities, and you better have a good plan and stick with that plan. And if you're easily discouraged, you're in the wrong business. I think that goes to any run game. You know, it's hard to continue to run the football if you're down, you know, two or three scores, particularly in the second half of the game. That's a big goal all the time, whether it's Tennessee Titans or the St. Louis Rams or the 49ers. You know, if you get that run stopped, you get a lead, you can make a team one-dimensional. And, you know, that would definitely serve us well if we were able to get that done.